Welcome to the Kid Craddock Podcast. It's a condensed version of the show.
We painstakingly smushed it together for your listening pleasure.
Enjoy! Kid Craddock in the morning.
Last night was one of those nights that will end up in the history books.
Yeah.
We already had an inkling to what the answer was going to be.
I don't think anybody expected it to come back. Did anybody really expect it to come back?
Well, they go to court.
They sent set it up. Yeah, the way they set up the defense already for rioting, you already had an idea to what the decision was going to be.
Yeah,
tell people what we're talking
this
about.
This is
we're
what took place.
Ferguson, Missouri. Illinois, Missouri. Ferguson, Missouri, and the Michael Brown shooting.
Officer Darren Wilson shot and killed an unarmed teenage boy, 19 years old, Michael Brown. And this is the announcement.
After their exhaustive review of the evidence, the grand jury deliberated over 2 days, making their final decision. They determined that no probable cause exists to file any charge against Officer Wilson and returned a no true bill on each of the 5 indictments. The physical and scientific evidence examined by the grand jury, combined with the witness statements supported and substantiated by that physical evidence, tells the accurate and tragic story of what happened.
As soon as that was announced, if you were watching on CNN or in the news,
people started running.
And
who could get there first?
And for some reason, what is the point of throwing bricks through small businesses
that are owned by
the people that support your city?
Yeah, They were looting the Dollar Tree.
They were looting the Dollar Tree. I know.
You take all of the other stuff out, the facts. You take that out of it. Why like the cars on fire? You know, and the businesses on fire. These businesses that
I don't understand the violence
are owned by people that live in our neighborhood.
I understand people are angry,
and it's understandable to be angry because you have a feeling, you feel a certain way, and it didn't go your way. It's okay to be angry, but to take it into your own hands and to use violence and to put other people's lives in danger. Not only those people that are protesting with you, but of the police officers that are also trying to maintain peace.
Well, this is a real problem because in a lot of situations, like when you think back to like OJ and that verdict and the kind of racial tension and the things that broke out, all of that was seen on television. But in a grand jury proceeding like this, these things are secret.
Yeah.
So normally when, you know, this kind of indictment or no indictment is handed down, we're not going to know everything that happened in that courtroom.
Yeah.
This was a little bit different because some of the proceedings were released, just a few facts, really just transcripts of the testimony that was done on behalf of Darren Wilson, that was released to the public.
And that's what I feel like it should have gone to trial just so that we have.
I agree. On trial, at the very least.
Go to trial. There was an unarmed man who was killed. Take it to trial. Have a jury of 12 people. And then figure it out from there. That's not how it went.
Well, you keep saying unarmed man. Now, what everybody's upset about is because a white man killed a black dude.
That's what everybody's
unarmed
upset
black
about.
Dude.
Yeah.
And it seems like when that happens, it's okay. It perception is 90% of reality. Would y'all agree with that? And it looks like it's okay when a white man, police officer in this case, shoots a black kid that's unarmed. It just gets swept up under the rug, and that's the perception. That's what people are mad about, you know, because there's no punishment for this dude. Now, in reality, this police officer, he can't live a normal life for the rest of his life.
No.
I mean, he's got to be in hiding. I mean, I don't know where he's going to go because if he just walks down the street, he might get shot himself. You know,
he definitely can't be in Ferguson.
Right, right. So, no. I don't even know how I feel about this.
Here's a stat: the U.S. attorneys prosecuted 100. This is from 2010 when we have the latest data. U.S. attorneys prosecuted 162,000 federal cases back in 2010. Grand juries declined to return indictment for 11 of those. So most of them ended up going to trial. But this was a police officer shooting, and a recent investigation found that police have been nearly immune from criminal charges and shootings.
Well, I mean, police—they are going to err on the more often than not,
right.
Err on the side of the officer because they have, you know, how can you say definitively they did not think their life was in jeopardy?
Right.
Because he has the right to protect himself, and he said he'd been punched twice
in the face,
and he was afraid that third blow could render him unconscious or kill him. So it was he had to make the decision for himself that his life was in danger. you know, and maybe a medical examiner say, well, no, you could have probably took 7 more blows to the head. But how do you know when you're in that situation?
Yeah, you never know.
Right.
So
adrenaline.
You have to give officers a lot of leeway. And that's why I think sometimes it more favors them.
Reporters were on the scene and police officers were, or they were trying to say, no, we're not shooting tear gas, but they clearly were.
Well, when it gets to a certain point,
right.
When they start setting things on fire, they said they made the announcement. I was listening to the radio coming in this morning because a lot of this happened after I went to bed last night.
Right.
They said the police kind of just let people do what they were going to do for a while. And then when it started getting to the fires and, now you've become an unruly mob tear gas.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't the initial reaction.
No.
And from what I've read, Officer Darren Wilson supposedly called for backup. Backup was not there yet.
He said he was trying to buy 30 seconds. He thought if I could buy 30 seconds or something.
Let's go through a couple of these facts like you're bringing up, because we want to take your calls to get your opinions on this. It's very difficult when we don't.
You think people want to talk about this? I don't know.
I know one dude that doesn't want to talk about it. He was at my bar last night, and I changed the channel from ESPN, from his game, to CNN to hear this announcement, and I thought he was going to put a beer bottle on top of my head because I took his game off.
Well, tough.
Yeah.
This is a big deal.
No, we have a bunch of people on hold. Let's just go through a couple of the things that have been released. Just the only facts we do know that they did release from the court documents, according to Darren Wilson's testimony. He had never used his weapon on duty before. He said he often didn't even carry a gun. He was uncomfortable carrying his weapon anyway, so he had actually never shot his gun, in the line of duty before.
He said he was uncomfortable carrying a stun gun.
Not a gun. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so he testified the area of the shooting was a hostile environment. It was a big gang. It was a bad part of town.
It's a bad part of town. We all know those parts of town.
He said his original intention was just to arrest Brown. He said that he had heard, in the car that he was a possible suspect in that theft. He just wanted to keep eyes on him, like you guys were just saying. He needed to buy 30 seconds of time because he had called for backup. He was carrying mace, not a stun gun. But, when he thought he started getting scared that he was going to get beaten to death because he was punched in the face a couple of times.
Okay.
So he was scared. He was like, one more punch would have knocked me out. So that's when he was scared. He actually fired 12 times. He said that Michael Brown was running at him.
Okay.
Right, and so he missed him a couple of times.
But there were defense wounds on Michael's arm. Again, we weren't there. The only people that were there are Michael Brown, his friend, and the police officer.
He did testify that Michael Brown had reached under his shirt when he was running towards him. So even though he wasn't armed, that he had made some verbal threats saying, you're too much of a wussy to shoot me, and started running at him and reached under his shirt and had one arm up. And anyways, that's what he was saying.
The main problem is there's rioting and violence going on because of this. And Michael Brown's family came out with a statement and they said, we respectfully ask that you please keep your protests peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Answering violence with violence is not the appropriate reaction. Let's not just make noise. Let's make a difference.
Agreed.
What Michael Brown's family wants is for police officers to have cameras at all time, which will protect
I'm good with that.
It'll protect the police officer. It'll protect the people that are in the city.
I'm down with
you. You will always know what's going on because there will be a camera on at all times.
I'm down.
That's what they want, but violence with violence is not the answer. And unfortunately, I keep seeing on Twitter that sometimes you have to respond with violence. And no, you don't.
No, you don't.
Martin Luther King didn't want that.
Yeah, but
and he endured horrible things.
Yeah. That was the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when violence was at its worst.
Yeah, he went to jail several times for being a peaceful protester.
Exactly. Yeah. It can be done, and change did happen. And it can be done again. James?
I'm coming with that black belt.
Hey, James?
Mm-mm.
You all right there, buddy?
Yes, yes.
There you go, buddy.
There you are.
What's going on,
sorry
James?
About that.
You're good.
Okay.
I'm just in uprage because of the fact is, listening to all the evidence, they say, this officer says that he shot him from 8 to 10 feet away.
Uh-huh.
And the evidence says he shot at least 150 feet away. So I'm trying to figure out why this grand jury is as blind as they are to not take all the evidence. We wasn't there, no. But at the same token, another thing, this is a tall, big guy. This guy is also big. He's like 6'4", 210 pounds, the officer.
Yeah.
So if you shoot this big guy at least two times in his legs to take him to the ground, I'm quite sure this is a young boy. He feels those shots go in his body. He's going to give up. He had his hands up. That's everybody's standing there saying. This man has his hands up. So why would you continue to shoot him and kill this boy? So at the end of the story, we have a legalized murder that the state of Missouri is allowing to take effect and just let it go ahead. So when these people, I don't agree with none of the looting. It's stupid to me.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do agree with is angry people. I'm in the state of Missouri. Yeah. I'm not going to say my city, but I'm here.
Okay.
And it's very, very uncomfortable. I have three sons myself. Mm. And so I just look at the fact that, you know, my kids have to grow up in a society where the police officers allow, you know, are allowed to kill people and walk away with this. And my thing is, if he does walk these streets, I already know what's going to happen. I live in the state of Missouri, born and raised. So at the same day, if this man was ever to get free, it's not going to be good for him. So he needs to understand that you need to – he should just take down and say, you know what, I'm willing to serve some time. Just give himself up.
Let me
ask you a question. Do you ever find yourself telling your sons that, you know, when they go out to hang out at night or in the evening time, to not wear – certain things, like say the hoodie, okay? The hoodie has been getting the rap lately. You know, do you find yourself wanting to say, you know, obviously you can wear whatever you want to wear. You should feel comfortable wearing what you want to wear, but you don't want to
protect yourself.
Just to give yourself, you know, hedge your bet a little bit, you know? Do you find yourself saying that to your kids?
Well, the reason why I don't say that yet is because I have younger kids. I mean, my oldest is only in middle school. My youngest is in elementary. So, but what I do tell my kids is, you have to be aware of your surroundings, and you mind your own business. You don't allow yourself to be in any type of confrontations. You don't have friends that are out in the street that's, you know, keeping you doing bad things.
Right.
My kids know I'm a disciplinarian.
Right.
So therefore, I don't right now, I'm not at that point. But me and my wife, she thinks about that all the time. She just brought that up this morning. And it's so sad that I have a wife who's nonviolent, and she just told me, baby, we're going to have to get a gun. You know, and this is a scary society. This is a scary world that we're living in now, you know. And it's like, how can a cop, you know, justify the fact that you did overkill? This was overkill, and he knows it was overkill.
Right.
And so for these people to be upraised and do the things that they do, no, don't destroy the community that you live in. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it takes one night to destroy Ferguson. One night, you can destroy that city. It'll take 30 years to put it back together.
Yeah, I mean,
I just don't understand how that's setting a good example for your community.
No, it's
people that are doing that are not thinking the way that we think. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're thinking, oh, this is going to
be rational.
The people that are looting and breaking windows and lighting police officers' cars on fires, they're not the ones that want to make a difference. They're just out there to do it.
Yeah.
If you really want to make a difference, you don't do that.
Yeah.
I agree. Those are that's your tax money. You're lighting a cop car on fire. That's your tax money. You're basically lighting your own money on fire because guess who paid for that cop car?
I'm thinking, city. I'm thinking those guys probably not paying a lot of taxes. I'm just saying.
Thank you so much, James. You have a wonderful day, man.
Good luck with your boys.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's why I pick out when I wear a hoodie, lime green.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Fooled them all
out. Right
out.
That outrages me, Al.
Hey, Lindsay, your opinion changed?
Yes, my opinion changed. When I first heard about everything that went down, I was, you know, in favor of the friends and the family, and I thought it was, you know, outrageous that the officer did this.
Uh-huh.
But then a couple weeks ago, I heard about the autopsy report and how the report was concurrent with what the officer said happened. And I'm dealing in Tallahassee with a lot of Jameis Winston stuff where people have been convicted in the media before there's even any, you know, trial or any, you know, they're being indicted on anything. And that's kind of what happened here is everybody heard the story, the media went insane, everybody developed an opinion, and then the facts started coming out and, you know, the reports started coming out, and it really does seem like, you know, what he said happened.
Right.
So, I mean, and also in Tallahassee, we just had an officer shooting. You know, you have to put yourself in the place of the officer where, you know, they've got a hard job to do, and they've got to evaluate all this stuff in a split second. And, you know, you kind of have to, that's why they are in the position they're in, because nobody else wants to do it.
Think about it. Every time an officer pulls over somebody for speeding or whatever, and you walk up to that car, you don't know what is waiting for you. I mean, every moment they're on edge a little bit. They don't know. They have to make a split second decision.
They want to go home.
And sometimes, you know, we all have to face split second decisions. Our split second decisions don't always have tragic results.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, as far as the eyewitness accounts, there were multiple eyewitness accounts. Some people did say he had the hands in the surrendered position. Other witnesses said he did not. So it's just all a matter of.
Some said he was charging. Some said he was running away.
I mean, everybody can see the same thing and have different.
Sure.
Different. I swear up and down, this is what I saw.
Yeah.
And it wasn't what they saw.
I just hate when I posted after they told us the conclusion, and I said, prayers for Ferguson, protesting using violence never solves anything. It just ruins more lives. You wouldn't believe how many messages I got saying, sometimes you need to use violence versus violence. No, that It blows my mind that people actually think that way.
That's exactly what you're upset about in the first place. So how I
right.
that's what
you're upset that violence was used towards a teenager and killed, and now you want to solve that by using more violence. It just doesn't compute in my head.
I know.
Well, people don't think rationally when they're really
and you're upset, and I understand that.
This will be the water cooler talk of the day.
Yeah,
I guarantee you that.
It'll be the Facebook, Twitter talk.
It depends on who you ask. I mean, you know, I feel like I got to think about how I approach a police officer. You know, I don't know. I come in contact with so many people on a daily basis. But when I walk up to a police officer, is he thinking, okay, is this dude got something up? You know,
right.
Because I'm black, because I got a hoodie on, you know.
Yeah, and white people can give our opinion all day about it, but we didn't have the black experience, you
right,
know. And
right,
so it's like,
right.
It's really hard.
I try to
understand the anger, but I don't experience the anger because I haven't lived that experience, you know?
This is on the heels of Trayvon Martin,
yeah.
And Stand Your Ground, and same type of thing, unarmed.
And
wearing
I think that's different.
You know, here's a question.
Yeah.
Kayla, what did you want to say?
After watching the riots and the fires and the rocks, I feel like, what if this was a black police officer that shot a white teenage boy or a black teenage boy? Would there be as many riots, as many people throwing rocks at police officers, businesses? Would it be the same?
If it was a black officer,
of course not,
shooting a black teenager, no.
Then it would be
saying black on white.
Then they would.
She also said black
and black on black.
Yeah. Black.
My opinion is then it would be a police versus black teenager. A black teenager, you just don't value black teenager like now. But it just escalated because it was a white police officer that shot a unarmed black man.
I mean, has anyone done the numbers? I don't know. If you look at all the officer involved shootings that involved the suspect being killed, I mean, has someone broken it down by race? Like, this many black officers killed this many white teenagers, this many black officers this many blacks, you know, and whites. I mean, has somebody broken it down?
I'm sure.
I don't know.
I'm sure if they haven't, they're on it right now.
But that is a good question. I mean, what would...
Yeah.
Obviously, there'd be no reaction.
Unfortunately...
We haven't seen any.
Unfortunately, this divided our country once again.
Again.
Yeah. And that's the sad part, because we've come way too far to be divided again. When we should all be, we're all Americans. Mm-hmm. We should all be together. We should all be holding hands.
That sounds good.
And fixing this problem without violence.
Very kumbaya,
I know,
JC.
I know.
We should all be Americans holding hands.
Sounds good.
I know. It's what you wish for, but it's not what we have.
No. Oh, dude.
And I don't know. And if we knew the answer to that, we would already be taking care of it.
Oh, boy.
The Kid Craddock Morning Show is back.
We are just blown away. We've been on a really good streak with our celebrity interviews lately. They're all so punctual.
I know.
Especially an A-lister like Gwyneth Paltrow being on time.
I can't even believe those words are coming out of our mouths. Welcome to the Kid Craddock Morning Show, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
Hey, Gwyneth.
Thank you so much.
The punctual Gwyneth Paltrow.
It's like they think we'll dock the pay.
I was late. I was getting my kids, like, finishing their lunches and getting them in the car, and I was panicking that I was late, but no, I guess I'm not.
See, this is what I love about Gwyneth Paltrow. I know you get grief, and you acknowledge the grief you get. You're just a mom you just made lunch for your kids and got them out the door for school. You are a regular mom who happens to have a glamorous job.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't a very glamorous lunch, I can tell you that.
Yeah, what did you pack? What's for lunch today, Gwyneth?
Oh, you know all the other moms are asking her kids, oh, what did Gwyneth make for her children today?
Yeah. Yeah, Gwyneth, what do you make for your kids for lunch?
The hardest thing is that my daughter's vegetarian. She just sort of came out like that. So I have to get really creative. So today I did, like, pita bread with hummus and some olives and carrots. I make her, like, a little tasting platter. But sometimes I'll make her, like, vegetarian chili, or I'll buy, like, avocado sushi at the Whole Foods and put that in her lunchbox. So she's more challenging. He likes turkey, and I can put, like, a little cold slider in his lunch, or he's much less fussy with food.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How much say, Gwyneth, did you have in this whole menu combination that's going with your Goop pop-up shop? Because you just mentioned turkey burger, and I see that one of the menu items one of my girlfriends tried yesterday was actually the Middle Eastern turkey burger. Is that something you've personally made?
Yes, that's from my second cookbook. And it was so incredibly kind of them to want to collaborate with us on the menu, and we've had such a warm welcome. But that's one of my favorite, you know, that cafe is very healthy. So I did the healthier version. And I did the turkey burger that's in my second book, which is kind of a, it's like healthier comfort food, that uh-huh. book.
Where do you find a Middle Eastern turkey?
Middle East, Al.
Excellent question, yeah, though, Al. It had to be asked.
Yeah.
it really just refers to the spices in it. I didn't go to the Middle East and bring back.
Oh,
but you
okay.
know what? Some people would expect. Some people would expect nothing less from you, though.
Right?
Oh God.
Okay, we're talking to Gwyneth Paltrow. She's doing these pop-up stores around the country called Goop. And my question is: it's sort of like, you know how Oprah did her favorite things. Is everything in there your favorite thing? Is that how you choose what goes in?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the idea, but it's not just me. I have an amazing team of women that I work with, and so we all curate things together, but it's definitely my point of view and my taste, and so, you know, it's really actually fun to do, and we love trying to find unique things, or, you know, it's not only things, it's information or an interesting new business or, you know, a doctor or a great hotel. So we're just like a curious bunch of women who like to try to find, you know, interesting and inspiring things. It could be a product or it could be, you know, anything.
Awesome. I am going to go to Goop if they carry a size 12, and I'm going to get me a Monique Lhuillier for the office Christmas party.
Okay, good.
I would love to. I will wear that every day.
I know you will. She will.
I'll leave the Goop price tag hanging off of it so everybody will know. I'll be like, Minnie Pearl, come to the party.
Well, we say that anyway, Kelly.
I'm going to be like a kid in a candy store. It's going to be fun.
Kelly, I want the juicer.
Okay.
Oh, you can get
the juicer. Oh, the gold-plated juicer?
The gold-plated juicer.
Okay, Gwyneth. And who's? Okay, we have to ask you about the gold-plated juicer.
Isn't that hilarious? Oh
okay,
God.
That's a joke, right?
Yes, of course.
$5,000. I mean,
somebody will buy it.
Really? I mean, I guess a rich person would buy it.
Just, yeah.
No, I don't even think a rich person would buy it.
As a gag gift?
But yeah, sometimes we just put things in there just to, you know, be cheeky.
Over the top.
Okay.
Yeah,
like
why not?
Well, you know what? If I had all the money in the world, whatever.
Yeah,
it'd
be a good gag gift to give the Sheikh or something, or the Saudi prince or something.
Sometimes on Christmas guides, you know, you... like, for example, like some like on the Neiman Marcus one, there's like an airplane or something. Like, you know,
right.
Like,
yeah.
people
yes.
just put crazy stuff. We just
right.
put some crazy stuff just for fun.
Can I ask you a dude question, Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yes, of course.
Because Robert Downey Jr. is going to be in Captain America 3. Are you going to be yeah. in that movie with him?
I don't know. I've heard rumors that maybe, and I don't know. My fingers are crossed. I would love to be Pepper Potts again at some
yeah.
point in my life.
I just love saying that name. It's so right? fabulous.
Isn't it so cool to have
Pepper
rumors about you possibly being in a humongous movie? That was a rumor that I'm going to be in this
yeah.
big movie.
Yes. Well, if they come true, we'll see.
What do you have coming out movie-wise? You got anything coming out soon?
I have a movie coming out in January that I did with Johnny Depp last year. It's a comedy and a kind of an art heist. It's very, very funny, and it's a British comedy. I think it comes out late January or early February. It's called Mordecai.
Mordecai, yes.
Yes, I do remember hearing about that.
Yeah, and Johnny is so fun and so funny.
Well, yeah,
it
we
was
saw
funny.
How
he was funny the other night.
The other night, he seems like a real fun guy to party with.
oh, God, yes, well, no comment.
I bet Gwen is fun to party with.
Yeah, I do.
You know, because it's so fun to see your girlfriends. They all, I think Jessica Seinfeld was saying, like, you're just the best girlfriend ever. You seem like a real girl's girl.
I'm so lucky because I have the most amazing women in my life, and a lot of them are from kindergarten, from when I'm 5 years old. And,
wow.
you know, a lot of them I picked up later along the way, like Cameron Diaz or Jessica Seinfeld, who are just, like, the most amazing, hilarious, solid women. And I, you know, my girl cousins are amazing. Like, I really I'm so lucky. I have the best women in my life.
I want to be one of Gwyneth Paltrow's friends.
What are the chances that that Kelly can join your group,
yeah.
Gwyneth?
Yeah, where do I got to do?
She's in.
She has rich white girlfriends, so she'll fit right in.
Yeah.
Gwyneth,
yeah.
You give Kelly two glasses of wine.
I am so
She's
fun.
Way more fun than Johnny Depp.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you going to smoke pot with Johnny Depp?
See, now, Gwyneth, I'm not that fun.
No. Well, Gwyneth, I have to ask, since you have all of these friends that, you know, we have these situations. It's like, what do I buy my friend that has everything? And it seems like a lot of the friends that you have, you guys have everything you want. So what's your approach in buying, you know, Jessica Seinfeld or Johnny Depp or Robert Downey Jr. a Christmas present? You know, what approach do you take? Do you go creative?
You know what I think is such a great gift, and it doesn't matter, you know, what the price point is, if you personalize something. Like, I've given, you know, just LL Bean bags. I go on the website and, like, put the person's initials. I think they're, like, $40. Mm-hmm. And it's so, then you open something with your initials on it, and it's great. So I do that with sometimes with jewelry. It's a really special thing. Or I'll do it with bags. On the website, actually, we do a lot of personalized things with initials because I sort of like that. And, you know, napkins with a monogram. You know, anything I think with a monogram makes somebody feel really mm-hmm. special.
I have a product idea.
Product idea for Gwyneth
Product
Paltrow
idea,
for
and it's topical and everything. The Kim Kardashian butt pillow.
Oh, God, Al.
And then you can go
what?
Ahead.
What?
Yeah.
That's not really in the goop.
We apologize, yeah. Gwyneth.
Sorry, Gwyneth.
It could be
that's
like
so
a...
That's so weird because we just... finished making those.
See, I like
see how classy she is to humor
we have,
you.
We have the boobs. We've got the front pillow and the back pillow.
Put me two sets on layaway. I'll pick them up.
Yeah.
See, Gwyneth
that.
Has a sense of humor.
Yeah. Hey, Gwyneth, real quick, since you're doing that movie with Johnny Depp and he's supposed to be British, can you let us know what he sounds like when he's doing that?
Oh, can
British.
You do a Johnny Depp impersonation?
I would love to hear Gwyneth's Johnny.
See, I don't know if he
Johnny Depp.
He sort of like talks like this, darling. He does a very sort of posh British. It's very funny.
Yeah, he talks to his teeth.
I'm British. Johnny Depp.
His jaws are wired together.
Johnny Depp.
What is your best impersonation, Gwyneth? What do you pull out at parties?
I kind of suck at impersonations. I'm not really that good at them.
Mm. But you're an actress.
She can act.
She can cry.
They're really not that good.
We'll be your gauge. To see if they're good enough to go on air with them.
Awesome.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good.
You are welcome back anytime, goop or not.
Absolutely.
We'd love
Thanks
to have
so
you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Gwyneth Paltrow, everybody.
Yay.
The Kid Craddock Morning Show is back.
Hey, baby. I'm just going to shake.
Shake it off. Shake it off. We know what you want for Christmas this year. Tickets to see Taylor Swift's the 1989 World Tour. So get ready because we're giving you the 12 days of Swiftmas.
Oh, I see what we did there.
Get it?
Yeah.
Starting Monday,
December 1st. Listen for the 12 Days of Swiftmas jingle to play. Okay. Then you got to be calling number 13 because that's Taylor's lucky number, along with Kelly Raspberry. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get to win big.
Yeah, we can send you to see the 1989 World Tour in Baton Rouge, in Dallas, Pittsburgh, Tampa, Chicago, San Diego, or St. Louis. And we're also going to throw in airfare for those cities, compliments of Southwest Airlines.
Boom!
12 days, 12 winners, starting December 1st, after we get back from Thanksgiving, of course. It's the 12 days of Taylor Swiftmas with the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
On the first day of Swiftmas.
That's one chick I've never seen in concert.
Really, Kelly?
Yeah.
I've seen her a couple times.
I've never seen
it. It's actually a really, really good show.
I'm going to have to put that on my list of things to do with my daughter.
And I've seen her in like a stadium tour. And you know, stadium tours sometimes don't sound as good. No, she sounded awesome there too. Now, we were just talking about Thanksgiving because we're going to do the Taylor Swift contest after Thanksgiving. So let's get a little Thanksgiving fun going. Special Thanksgiving edition. Oh, does that make me crazy? That's where you tell us those crazy things you do that mm-hmm. may get that look from somebody like, really? You crazy? You do that?
Yeah, some people have these crazy Thanksgiving traditions. Well, maybe you don't think it's crazy, but other people do. And maybe you finally need to ask the question, does that make me crazy?
Like this. I'm planning on buying a can of Ocean Spray cranberry. That's it. And sitting alone at home with my pug and watching football. Does that make me crazy? That's going to be my Thanksgiving this year.
Do you get the one with the whole berries
no,
in it?
No. I like just opening it up and just like going onto the plate.
That makes you lonely.
That makes you lonely.
Yeah, I like the one with the whole berries.
Yeah, well,
that
what else
makes
you crazy?
To do?
My wife thinks what I do is kind of weird.
What's that?
I go to the dinner table and I pick out my turkey and I grab some cranberry. I get everything, including the stuffing, which I hate. I just want it to be there for decoration.
It's pretty.
I just get the stuffing, just one little scoop, just put it on the plate so it looks right, and I don't eat it. Does that make me crazy?
Yes.
Yes, and wasteful.
And what? There you go.
Do you not have like a Mexican Thanksgiving tradition? Like, how does the Chavez family do Thanksgiving?
Lately, the last few years, we've just gone down to Mexico City, and my family tries their hardest.
Right, though.
They try their hardest to get that Thanksgiving going for Kinsey, but it's just not the same.
The Mexicans don't, but the Americans do.
The expatriates, is that what they call them?
I've spent, I don't know, two or three Thanksgivings in Mexico in Playa del Carmen, and what we would do, we would have a potluck, and people would make their portion of the Thanksgiving dinner and bring it up to the bar, and we'd have Thanksgiving dinner at the beer bucket.
Yeah, there you go.
I thought maybe do something cool, like make like turkey enchiladas or something.
No, they
tried
to
do tacos.
They put a full on turkey out, but then they put mole on top of it.
Turkey tacos.
Yeah. I don't like mole.
So they put mole. If you don't like mole,
mole.
If my wife doesn't, it's not that good.
Hit the phones.
Let's go to the phones, Natalie. Kick us off, Natalie.
Oh, so I don't really worry about the food that much when Thanksgiving comes around. I worry this entire week about what I'm going to wear and how I'm going to do my hair just so I can look really good. Does that make me crazy?
No, not at all. Good. It makes you a girl.
Just for to look good.
I get it. Not okay. Crazy.
Who wants to look good for their drunk uncles?
Thank you.
You're welcome, Natalie. We say not crazy, just very, very pretty.
Thanksgiving edition of Does That Make Me Crazy?
Mary, what'd your father-in-law do?
Okay, so my father-in-law and his wife are coming over for Thanksgiving, and I'm stressed out about that already. And then he called me last night and said that he shot a goose, and he's bringing a goose to Thanksgiving. And I was like, do you know how to cook a goose? And he's like, no, but you'll figure it out. So we have like 2 days to figure out how to cook and prepare a goose. And I already bought a turkey, so I guess we're having both.
Is he going to pluck it and all that?
Would that be turgoosin?
I don't know. I hope so, but I'm really stressed out about it. So does that make me crazy or
that
him?
That is so like Tiny Tim, right? Send the little paper boy to go buy the biggest goose. Wasn't that it?
I don't know.
It was a turkey.
But now we hunted.
Wait, but you gotta, I don't know.
You gotta Google that goose.
You gotta pluck that. I would think it would take like more than a day of prep.
I wonder if you could find a butcher to take care of that part.
I'm sure.
You know what? Will you just take the goose into Whole Foods and just ask them if they can do anything with it?
Can you cook my goose, please?
Right? Oh my God.
Oh, good luck with that, Mary. Let us know how that works out for you.
You need to go to a butcher shop, I guess.
Google that.
That is so weird. This one's good here.
I'm a goose.
Trina, what are you doing this Thanksgiving?
Well, we are cooking the turkey and a whole meal in an RV.
Why?
We live in the RV and my mother-in-law lives in the house.
Okay.
So we are cooking. My husband will stay up all night and cook the bird in the, actually he'll do the bird in the smoker, and then we'll be up all night checking on it and watching movies, and then we'll cook the rest of it in the RV. We have never done this yet.
Yeah.
I'm not so good at the convection oven yet.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a little microwave, but you've got to learn. So it will be a new experience for sure. Does that make it crazy?
I would have done a trial run on that.
Is the RV like in a trailer park or like at Walmart or what?
It's actually on our lot. We have a lot next to the house where we have my mother-in-law at, so we can take care of her. So
okay.
It's actually on a big lot in the city.
Who's got to drain the pooper?
That's my husband, all the way. That's him, all the way.
You gotta take these things into consideration.
You gotta live. Trina's not going to do that.
You got the RV. RV out there.
Yes.
Before Thanksgiving Day, yes.
Somebody's got to drain the Thanksgiving pooper. I'm telling you.
That's exactly right.
But you have to think. I'm here for logistics.
There you go. Some lawful cooking in an RV for Thanksgiving right there.
All right.
I like that. That's actually cool. Jessica.
Oh, yes. I'm seriously searching for my maternity pants in my closet, even though I had my kids like 3 years ago. Does that make me crazy?
Hilarious.
Makes you prepared.
looking for the maternity.
You gotta have something that's fresh, really good.
That's awesome.
You're smart woman. Jessica.
You
not crazy.
You have the Thanksgiving stretch pants.
Are
right?
you pre-eating to stretch your stomach so you'll be prepared on Thursday?
Oh yes, absolutely.
That's awesome. Thanks,
See,
baby.
People think you should like starve yourself. No,
no.
Pre-eat. You pre-eat. Pre-eat, you got to get your stomach stretched out good, so there's plenty of room
exactly,
in there.
Exactly, Kelly.
Any of those competitive eaters will tell you that you have to practice, and then
you don't start starving yourself. That's, yeah. that's for the birds.
Shrinks your tummy.
We're doing. Does that make me crazy? Thanksgiving edition. Danielle, take us out.
Yes, I was calling because my coworker's dirty, and when we have dinner over at work, nobody eats her food. We go ahead and throw it in the garbage, and we tied everything on top of it until it was delicious.
Oh, why is she dirty?
I don't know. She's just dirty and nasty, and I just can't see myself eating the food that she brings.
Like, what do you mean? Like how
you
do you know
what
she makes?
Dirty?
She's nasty.
What she usually makes?
She presents herself as awful.
What she usually make?
Ugh. I'm trying to make her bring drinks, but she'll make, like, salad that she cut up in the house, and all I can just imagine is her cutting it up and wiping her nose.
Oh, man. Oh, well, good luck this year, Danielle.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably one person like that in every office. Like,
yeah.
You know, you have a little potluck.
You don't eat what they bring.
Yeah. What did Mary bring?
Yeah.
Don't eat Mary's food. Put a flag on it or something. Let everybody know this is Mary's food.
Who's it here? I probably wouldn't eat Trey's from production's food.
I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to touch Trey's food.
Trey or Russ. Russ is probably clean. I just, you know, wouldn't trust his cooking.
Why not?
It's Russ.
No legitimate reason.
Back to more of the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
The Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Well, we're officially back from our Kids trip.
Yes, we are.
Went off without a hitch, except for a couple people getting sick.
Yeah. Thanks for everybody. Thanks to everyone that donated. Thank you, guys.
Yes.
You made the trip.
Thank you to Southwest Airlines.
Uh-huh.
Walt Disney World. To all our volunteers, our medical staff. Pilots and the flight attendants who donated their time to Big Al Mac.
What I do?
They're just doing stuff.
I ain't doing anything.
Thanks, Al.
Thank you. And thanks to everybody that went, you know.
And the families for allowing us to be a part of their experience. Because this is a trip for them. And, you know, they're allowed to go and do their own thing. And they let us stick around and hang out with them and get to know them and hang out with their kids.
And just like on any vacation, you know, what you say at the airport, back to reality when you're coming
mm-hmm.
back home.
Yes.
Talking to little Cheyenne and her dad. And he said, can we come by and see the show? I said, sure, man. Don't come Thursday or Friday because we'll be off on vacation for Thanksgiving. He said, no, it'll be the week after that because first thing tomorrow morning, he said this last night, Cheyenne's got to start chemo. And I was like, jeez.
Straight from Disney to the hospital.
Back to reality.
To chemotherapy, the next day.
And that's the reality for a lot of these kids.
Right.
They get this little window of real vacation to go and be a kid, and then they come back, and their reality isn't like us going to work and going to school. It's going back to the hospital.
Treatment.
So yeah,
Cheyenne,
but this time she's going back with memory. She gets to tell all the doctors and nurses about what she did.
That's
she's
true.
Probably excited to go tell them.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, Cheyenne, hey, we miss you already.
Hey.
Thank you so much for making that happen,
yes.
Not just for Cheyenne, but for all of those deserving kids and families we got to take on that 5-day trip to Disney World.
And speaking of getting back, we got back last night pretty late. And I walked into the house just in time to catch our people on The Voice. We have two people we're looking after. We have Luke Wade.
Luke.
Who did a little Otis.
He did great.
A little tenderness.
Now you're going to dig this.
All you got to do is you got to hold her where you want to. Just squeeze her. Don't tease her. Never leave her.
Come on.
You got to tease her and squeeze her, but don't ever leave her. Ready? Got to, no. Squeeze her. Don't tease her. Never leave her.
I was waiting for like Jay-Z to come out and start rapping or something.
It was so good.
That dude, it's a trip to watch him on TV because 4 weeks ago he performed at my bar. He sang up his own speakers, Kelly, and now he's on national TV on The Voice.
Real.
And also, also killing it on The Voice, Reagan James, our girl that Kelly found for the contest we did last year with Scooter Braun. Took on Fancy by Iggy Azalea.
Yeah.
I'm so fancy.
Her little spin on that.
You already know I'm in the fast lane.
From where?
From LA, Tokyo.
And joining us on the show right now, actually, Reagan James, wide awake, I'm sure, in L.A. Hey, Reagan.
Hey.
How you feeling?
Reagan, I think I've got a cure for your insomnia, which I know you battle.
Ambien?
Turn off your cell phone and go to bed.
No.
You tweeting all night, girl?
Just because the moon comes out doesn't mean everybody goes away. I still got everything going on.
Honey, your phone is so messed up, we can't understand what you're saying.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you a little better now.
Okay, now
you got me now?
Yeah, we got you now.
That's clear.
Okay, yeah. Stay still.
Yeah, don't move from that spot.
Good.
Yeah, you were
okay, I'm right in the spot.
You're right in the spot. Yeah, I used to tell my stepdaughter be up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I can't sleep tweeting. I'm like, well, then turn off the social media and go to bed. That's why you can't sleep.
Here's the thing. I'll, like, especially right after a show, you know, you have so much, like, adrenaline.
Yeah.
And so I'll put down my phone for, like, 30 minutes and just lay there and be like, so I can't sleep, and then you pick it back up because you're like, well, I guess I'm going to get on because I can't do anything else.
And I get it. I mean, this is, you know, just a month-long stint that you have, so you might as well get everything you can out of it.
Burn the candle at both ends.
Yeah.
Was it because you're on Al's boys team,
Blake
Shelton's team, was it tough for him to help you out with an Iggy Azalea song because he's a country guy?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people underestimate him in that area. I think people don't realize how versatile he is. And he was coming up with amazing ideas that it was funny because the bass player was like, after Blake mentioned like wanting to put some 808s in there, he's like, this was like, oh, okay, Pharrell. It was really funny. Because like people think that Blake just knows country, but he really knows all music and he can connect with me on my style, and he knows what I like, and he likes it, and he's amazing overall.
Yeah, I guess at the end of the day, music is music, and performing is performing. I mean, the common denominators kind of carry over whatever you're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has he asked about me?
Oh, Al,
you ask that every week.
You ask me that every week.
And the answer is still no?
No.
I'm sorry. I'm really, really sorry.
Hey, Al, maybe if she wins the whole thing, then maybe you'll have a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, how many more weeks are left in this competition? I mean, how much?
I think we end mid-December, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So, yeah, you just
got
to hang on.
We got a couple weeks left.
Yeah. We still have to vote for Reagan to make it on to the next round. So we have the links up at KidNation.com. Vote for Reagan. She needs to go on. Do you already have an idea on what you want to perform next week, if you do move on?
I want to take it down. We're going to do something more so of like a ballad or something more mellow, because I've done really upbeat stuff, and even, you know, Try was still big and, you know, fast. And I want to do something just completely just ballad-like and really beautiful vocally. So,
I guess we'll see what happens.
Oh, Kelly wants to coach you real quick, Reagan.
Coach you, Reagan.
Go ahead, Kelly. Coach Reagan.
I mean, just as an audience member, people just get so more excited when it's like an upbeat. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. You know, and the ballads are great and everything, but don't you think sometimes the big crowd pleasers get more votes, maybe? I don't know.
Okay, well, here's my opinion. You know Damien?
Yeah.
Damien, yes.
Damien's been doing ballads the whole time, and people adore him. It's just because he puts every single inch of passion that he has into his performances. And I think, of course, doing an upbeat, crazy, fun audience leader is going to get more votes than a really downbeat, like, boring ballad.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's as long as you connect to the song, I guess, you're going to be able to...
Yeah, if you can deliver deliver a good performance and really portray the message in a really good way and get people to feel it, I don't think it matters that it's
Well, I hope your connection with the audience next week is better than this phone connection. This phone connection was bad.
No, but we want you to vote
for
Reagan.
We got most of what you said, Reagan. We do want it. We still, so you are our pick to win this whole thing. So it's still time to vote today, right? What's the deadline to vote today?
The deadline is 12 Eastern.
12 Eastern.
12 Eastern. Noon Eastern.
Eleven Central.
Right. So go to KidNation.com. We'll link you to every place you need to go to vote for Reagan. Download her song on iTunes. That really helps the most.
Just over 2 hours left.
Yeah. Yep. So we're going to get it done. We're hopefully going to put you through to next week. We're going to do our part at least, Reagan.
And Reagan, go get some rest.
Get some rest and tell Blake I'm singing Neon Lights every karaoke chance I get.
Reagan James covers Neon Lights. Go look up her YouTube.
I will. She does. I'll sing it.
Bye, Reagan.
There's a neon light.
Bye, guys.
Rest that voice. Once you sound all good next week. That's Reagan James from The Voice. Team Blake, everybody. Yay. Go vote for KidNation.com.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.